With the familiar tones of AC/DC, we begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, June 1st, 2025. Hard to believe we're already here. At summertime, we come to you coast to coast and from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks every single day. Here in WrestlingObserver.com, also the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM, iHeart app, everywhere else you get a signal in this fine world of ours. I thank you for joining me today and the rest of the Wrestling Nation, as it were. Special shout out to those, of course, listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. I'm going to be with you for the next hour, filling in once again for Andrew Zarian, talk about the biggest news from Saturday night, this early Sunday morning, Sunday itself, and of course, into the week ahead, which includes, my friends, boy, I did not expect to talk about this, not on my rundown, the big surprise Sunday, R-Truth, gone from WWE, his long tenure is finally over, and I think came as a surprise to everyone. We'll talk about what we know as we're talking right now. Sure, more will come out as things go along. But yeah, following his big loss to John Cena at Saturday night's main event, R-Truth is gone. And there's a question coming out of that of, well, if they knew he was going to be going, we'll get to more about that later on in the show. Of course, AEW Fyter Fest coming up this Wednesday. We finally have a kind of full card. Happened late on Saturday night, so if you haven't heard, I will give you all that and get you excited about the show. Perhaps how much wrestling is too much wrestling? Fitting, considering we got 4 hours of AEW on Wednesday, and coming out of last Sunday's Double or Nothing, which lasted well into the past midnight for AEW fans. We'll talk about that. Of course, Money in the Bank and more. All that and more awaits you. Full show ahead. Stick around for the next hour on the very first Wrestling Observer Live of June 2025. Hey, that rhymed. Coming right back after this. All right, back with you, Wrestling Observer Live for Sunday, June 1st. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian. I'm a contributing editor to WrestlingObserver.com, host the occasional Josh Nason's Punch-Out on that very website. Glad to be with you once again. I expect Andrew to be back next week. Well, if not, I assume I'll be here. Once again, let's get to the big news of the day. R-Truth gone from WWE. Now, you know, he's not like a major figure in WWE. It's not like a, you know, if a Reigns was released or a CM Punk or someone like that. But he's a beloved figure in WWE and has been for quite some time. And he's not someone that's, you know, been on the shelf for years and years and years. You know, he's not chilling like somewhere like Tamina Snuka, who's still, I guess, still under contract. We have not seen her back in the ring in a long time. It's someone that's been on TV and was a featured match, what, 8 days ago on Saturday night's main event against arguably the biggest star in the company, one of the top two, John Cena. And it was not a world title match, but it was a featured bout. And it was, you know, part of this, the retirement tour and so on and so forth. And then there was an angle on Friday with JC Mateo and so on. And then on Sunday, we get this tweet, which was, let's see if I have that right here. Of course, I have it right here, of course. So this was at 11:12 a.m. Eastern, Sunday, June 1st. I'm sorry to inform you all, I just got released from WWE. I want to thank WWE for the ride, but mostly I want to thank each and every one of you who is along for the ride. Thank you for all the love, support, appreciation you have given me all over the years. Thank you. Prayers emoji. So Killings, real name Ron Killings, has been in the game for quite some time. He was, actually, before we get into history and all those things, so let's get some clarity. Fightful Sean Ross Sapp reporting shortly after 3 minutes that the tweet was accurate. So some people thought it might have been a, you know, a hack or a joke, you know, that he thought maybe June 1st was April 1st. You know what I mean? That's kind of the character. But no, he said he will be leaving WWE when his deal expires. So apparently, so he was informed that his deal is not being renewed. And I don't know when it expires. That was not clarified as of now. But I would assume, you know, coming up rather shortly. So that is, boy, that is, that's fascinating. I can't imagine he was a big money guy. So let's kind of get into the R-Truth of it all, shall we? So he's 53 years old. And again, he was just featured Saturday night's main event against John Cena. He lost to JC Mateo on Friday on SmackDown. And he has been, so this is his second run with WWE. Second, the first one running 1999 to 2001. He appeared as Kay Quick. If you are an older guy like I am, I'm 47. I remember that he was like a top prospect way back in those days, and he had done a lot of things outside the company as well. We'll talk about that in a minute, but yeah, he was a top prospect. He got cut, and then he came back in 2008 and has been there ever since. We sit here in 2025, and he's been around that long, and you know, mainly a comedic figure. He had got involved with that Cena angle several years ago, which is very memorable. You know, not anyone that had, you know, I would say Hall of Fame stature. He just had longevity. He's kind of like one of those like Major League Baseball players who's the Hall of Very Good. You know, they've had a long career, but nothing that really sticks out that's too big consistently. That they're solid. They're good. But he was never relied on to be like, you know, the guy. And that's kind of what we had with R-Truth. And yeah, I mean, he looks better than most, how will I say it was 53, like 23-year-olds. He just is shredded, has always kept himself in great shape. So his titles, this was he won in. So this kind of gives you an idea. So he did hold the most recent run, the WWE World Tag Team Championships with Miz as the Awesome Truth. That was for a short run in 2024. That was fun, but only lasts for like, 79 days, according to Cage Match. Before that, I mean, maybe this is a Hall of Famer. 53-time WWE 24/7 champion. Remember that era? He also held the WWE United States Championship twice for all 35 days. He's a tag team champion for 139 days, U.S. champion. So he was never really given any long run with any title, if that kind of gives you any indication. The longest was a 139-day run with Kofi Kingston back in 2012. That gives you some sort of insight there. But, you know, notably, he was in TNA. He was a two-time World Heavyweight Champion there. This was in 2003 and then also actually 2002 and 2003 and 2004. So he was doing some things there and he was a tag team champion there as well. And he was like a big part of their product and not really, you know, presented as a joke all the time, you know? So that gives you some sort of indication there. So, you know, releases and non-signings, that's a reality in wrestling today just because of the sheer amount of talent and contracts and all these type of things, right? But you kind of think about it. Did they make this decision like in the last week? When did this happen? And the reason for that, and I'll give credit, I'm sure other people have thought this as well, but Ibu from Wrestle Purist, I believe he is with still. He's been on my podcast before. He mentioned on Twitter, X, sorry. They would have gotten so much more of Cena versus Truth if Truth put his career on the line. 110%. Yes. 500% yes. If they knew he was going to leave or that they weren't going to resign him, why didn't they just put his career on the line? I don't understand. You know, instead they had to lose him to the former Jeff Cobb on a Friday SmackDown. Which one would have been more memorable if you're trying to send the guy out, I guess, the right way? I don't know. It's just wouldn't that have just added to this more to this heel character? It's been such a flop for Cena. You end him and just completely just kill the fans, you know, and make them upset. That's the whole point of being a heel. So why didn't they do that? Could have been a decision made this week. I'm sure we'll find out more about that as the week goes on. But yeah, R-Truth had been around for a long time. So now the question is, you know, when's he going to be released? And as always, the cases you have in these things is, where is he going to land next? Is he going to be done? Does he want to be done? Selected dates, all those things. And does AEW make sense? Does TNA, where he had obviously done some work before, make sense? That certainly seems to be a logical landing spot if they'd like him back. Seems to be a landing spot for a lot of ex-WWE releasees. Makes you wonder if they should just do trades as part of this partnership. If I'm AEW, I kind of think maybe you give him a look. And I'm not big on having all these ex-WWE people over there. We've seen that's been damaging in the past. But if he's interested and could be kind of this fun comedic figure, maybe just give him a 1-year run or something, like see what he wants to do. That could be fun, I guess, and something to perhaps maybe spice up Collision or maybe, you know, better dine. I don't know. I think if you do it right, you could have something fun with that for a year, and then you call it good and send him out the right way. I don't know. I guess it just depends on what it's to do. Again, he's 53 years old, and at some point he may be like, I'm good. But I was going to check out his activity. This year alone, he's had 6 matches. So he's not exactly like wrestling every single week. Would he want to? That's a, you know, it's another question. But, you know, just like other talents, he has been someone that hasn't really, it's kind of a 50-50 guy when he does wrestle, and except, you know, when he's on the bigger shows, but, you know, main event, you know, back in that era, he's good. But you look at someone like this and he's a comedic figure, but he's beloved. Would that work in AEW? I think it would. And I think they should probably take the shot at. If not, I expect TNA, if he wants to keep going. I'm sure he has, again, musical interests and other things like that outside, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, Bon Voyage to R-Truth in WWE. And I assume, you know, they're obviously not going to acknowledge it. I would assume on WWE program or anything. And it's not like he passed away or anything, but yeah, I think they missed a huge opportunity to not just have John Cena retire him. If they knew before Saturday Night's Main Event that this was going to happen, it's a promotional malpractice, put it that way. What is not promotional malpractice is Kenny Omega. He's going to be in action this Wednesday on Fyter Fest. I'm going to go over the whole card that we know as of right now, because you may have missed it when you were sleeping. All that and more coming back. Wrestling Observer Live, back in just a few minutes. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday, June 1st. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian. Thanks for joining in. If you missed the first segment, I talked all about R-Truth, gone from WWE. Contract not being renewed. If you want to hear more about that, you can check out the show in the archives at WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, the show airs on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network in repeat mode. Actually, right after this show, if you're listening to this live, you may have missed the first portion. Just hang out for a little bit, and then we kick things off again at the top of the hour, and replays and all those things. So if you have questions, you can hit me up on X at Josh Nason, JOSHNASON. Or I also am on Blue Sky. I don't check that as much, but I want to claim the name. So you check me on Blue Sky as well if you have questions or any of those type of things. But thank you for joining me. Let's get to Fyter Fest coming up this Wednesday, Denver, Colorado. AEW presenting not one, not two, not three, but 4 hours. Yes, 4 hours coming up this in a row coming up. I guess they present 4 hours every week, but I guess 4 hours consecutively, unless we're talking about a pay-per-view. We're going to talk about that more a little bit later on in the show. 4 hours straight on TV is a little unusual, but you know, we'll make it through. Should hopefully be well-paced and good. And going into last night, being Saturday night, of course, AEW Collision was taped this past Wednesday, aired after Game 6 and then Game 6 post-game coverage, I should say, on TNT, which include the sign-off, the final sign-off on TNT for Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, Shaq, and Kenny, I now complete blank on his name, Kenny the Jet. I'll just move on. But yes, the guys signing off on TNT as they move to, I believe, either ESPN or ABC as part of the whole NBA transition, all those things after, you know, decades and decades of NBA being on the Warner Bros. Networks. So they were following all that. So airing around like 11:30, I believe. I got to admit, I did not stay up to watch this. But I still have not seen the full show, but I knew the spoilers going in and everything. But coming out of it, we have a card, which you might have not heard about. And of course, I'll tie in some of the results and so on and so forth. Last night, the featured bout as of this point, which I assume is going to remain the featured bout, is Kenny Omega defending the international title for the very, is it the first time since? I'll look up that in a minute. But Kenny Omega defending the title in a four-way against Masa Dorada of CMLL, Claudio Castagnoli, of course, of the Death Riders, and then Brody King as well. So those guys qualifying in various matches this past week. Masa Dorada defeating Hechicero, also of CMLL, last night on AEW Collision. Claudio Castagnoli dispatching his rival Commander. Their series, their rivalry, which dates back, of course, the Continental Classic. So those four guys are going to do battle for Kenny Omega's title on this Wednesday in Denver, Colorado, live at Fyter Fest. I think that should be a great match. No doubt about that. Brody King, criminally underrated. Masa Dorada is by all accounts, one of the next up when it comes to big time luchadors and making a transition in the United States, perhaps at some point. Claudio is constant. He's going to be a guy that's going to catch a lot, I'd say, in this, but the big guy on Big Guy Violence with Brody King and so on, he'll hold his own and then some. And of course, Kenny is one of the best in the world. So this should be pretty entertaining. Brody King, Kenny Omega, Masquerade, and Claudio Castagnoli coming up on this Wednesday. But yeah, this Kenny Omega has not defended this title a lot. You know, he's been involved, if you remember, of course, last weekend's Double or Nothing. Kenny was involved in the Anarchy in the Arena match, so he seems to be clear on that, which is a relief. A lot of guys apparently were not. They're banged up as they should be. There was a rumor out there, I guess, that one of the Young Bucks may have suffered a concussion. I don't know if that was verified or not, but that those guys might going to miss some time. To clarify earlier, Kenny Omega, this would be the second defense of his title that he won back in March. Of course, he defended it in that three-way, which is also a lot of fun, in April at Dynasty, defeating Mike Bailey and Ricochet. So this seems to be the big match fun title, and I'll take it. So this should be good. So let's go over the rest of the card as well. Also made on Collision, AEW World Champion Jon Moxley will be in non-title action against former Ring of Honor World Champion Mark Briscoe. This came together with Briscoe issuing the challenge on Collision. He wanted to prove to his kids that he didn't quit when Moxley submitted him on Dynamite. This came out this past Wednesday's Dynamite in the, I believe it was that Trios match, if I'm remembering correctly, the numbers there. And so that's setting up this. So again, non-title, but you know what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of blood in this one, guaranteed. So this, so get ready for that. FTR taking on Atlantis Jr. and Templario from CMLL. This happened. There was a confrontation in the ring with FTR disrespecting Atlantis and Atlantis Jr.'s father, and they jumped the two. FTR jumped the two. The CMLL talent made a comeback, and FTR sent scrambling. So FTR should pick up the win here, but interesting combination here with them going against two guys from CMLL. Of course, we're leading into Forbidden Door in August. We'll talk more about a development for that in just a few minutes. Another match made coming out of Collision. So Miyuki Hirakawa took on Sky Blue, picked up a rebound win after losing to Toni Storm. Then Julia Hart attacked Hirakawa. AEW Women's World Champion Toni Storm came out for the save. And then tag matches made between Miyuki Hirakawa, Toni Storm taking on Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Of course, Hirakawa and Storm should win that. Mercedes Moné will be on commentary for that as well. Also, match made, Commander, and let's see, it'll be LFI will take on, let me get to my thing here, LFI, Rush Dralisco and the Beast Mortals will take on Commander Kevin Knight, the returning Kevin Knight from the Best of the Super Juniors, and also Speedball Mike Bailey. That should be a fun trios match as well. Of course, that coming out of some altercations from Saturday night as well. And then we also have Tekla making her in-ring debut. Tekla, who had part of her essentially in-ring debut missed last week. The camera didn't cut to the ring quick enough, but she attacked Jamie Hayter. So I assume she'll be taking on just a local competitor, as it were. Hayter will come out. There'll be a confrontation, and we will get that probably. I will probably get that before the pay-per-view, I'm going to guess. I don't think they're going to hold that off for 6 weeks. So there's another four-hour show, Summer Showdown, Summer Spectacular, something like that. I assume we're going to be on that in a few weeks. And also the Hurt Syndicate, AEW Tag Team Champions, also have their thoughts shared on the show. So yeah, not a bad lineup so far. Again, 4 hours, so we're going to need some more stuff here. The Omega, Dorada, Castagnoli, Brody King match, Moxley, Briscoe, FTR versus Lance Jr. and Templario, Toni Storm, Mina Shirakawa versus Sky Blue and Julia Hart, LFI versus Commander Kevin Knight and Speedball Mike Bailey, Tekla making her in-ring debut, and the Hurt Syndicate will speak as well. So that's, we'll have a lot more, I would assume, add to that in the days to come. And yeah, are you ready for 4 hours? A four-hour block on Wednesday night. I was thinking today, would it be better? I don't know, if someone's like, well, you have to have 4 hours a week, would it be better to watch them on separate days, or did I just kind of get over at once? I'm going to actually table that to our next segment because there's a few things there. I mentioned there was some news with the Forbidden Door, which I wanted to get to. Hiroshi Tanahashi will be at for AEW New Japan Forbidden Door for the very last time as an active competitor. He's been part of every Forbidden Door to date. And last night, the ace, the New Japan president himself, revealed on social media that his final match in the United Kingdom will be at the O2 Arena on August 24th at Forbidden Door. So there you go. He, of course, made a surprise appearance at Double or Nothing last Sunday, joined Brody King, Tomohiro Ishii, in making a save for the Paragon following their loss and their beatdown by the Don Callis family. And yeah, he's been part of every Forbidden Door to date. The first one, he was unable to defeat John Moxley in a match for the then interim AEW World title in 2022, which everyone knew that Moxley was going to win. He lost to MJF in 2023. That was an AEW World title match. And he then lost last year in a trios match, which featured himself and the Acclaimed falling to the Young Bucks and Okada. So I wonder, you know, he's 48, you know, still Father Time catches up with all of us. Not moving as well. I wonder what he's got planned. I assume a multi-person match of some sort. I assume they're not going to relegate him to the pre-show. So that'd be kind of fun to see what's going to happen there. But they do enjoy the, you know, the multi-person matches. So, of course, we have a long ways to go before that. But yeah, his last U.S. match took place in April. And he lost to Konosuke Takeshita, of course, also of AEW, at New Japan's Windy City Ride. So you get to see Takeshita for the very last time in the UK in London coming up in August. Other developments from last night. Big surprise. Sarcastic voice check. El Hijo del Vikingo won the AAA Mega Championship, defeating the dastardly Alberto El Patron. And we knew this, of course, last weekend because WWE decided to spoil it and say that the match of Vikingo is going to have at Worlds Collide with Chad Gable would be for the AAA Mega Championship. Except the issue with that was that Vikingo was not the champion at that point. He still had to defend the title. And there was this whole thing about how the feed in Mexico for Raw, which I believe this was announced at, it had the graphic change. It was geo-blocked or something along those lines where it was a different ad shown for them. What difference would it have made if WWE had just said it was going to be Chad Gable versus Vikingo? What difference would it have made? Zero. So why did they do it? They had the internet in Mexico. They talked down in Mexico. So you basically told a whole fan base, this is going to happen. And these are just the things to kind of remember. And these are the things, the small little things where if they don't care, I don't know. That's the first just kind of like note. And it's unfortunate for AAA fans that they had this spoiled ahead of time. Even if they had thought ahead of time this was going to happen, it's kind of a bad way to have it revealed, you know? We'll be back in just a few minutes on Wrestling Observer Live. We're going to talk about how much is too much in the world of pro wrestling. Join me in just a few minutes, Wrestling Observer Live. Back once again, my name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian. If you like this show, you can listen to it on WrestlingObserver.com or, again, Sports Byline Network, AMFM, the iHeart app, all these great things every single day, Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. I think I have that right. And of course, 6 p.m. on Sunday and 3 p.m. Pacific. I'd say these things off the top of my head anywhere outside my little studio here. But in here, I'm just like, oh yeah. Wait, is that what the time changes? All those things. Hope everyone's doing well. Again, June 1st, hard to believe it's here. And hard to believe there's so much wrestling. the hours, the days ahead, the hours it'll take. So I want to really quick talk about how much we're watching and how much is too much. And some of the criticism about length of pay-per-views and all these type of things. Just give me a couple minutes. I want to go every couple different sides here and say that there's really no good way to answer, solve this, and so on and so forth. So I thought about this a lot today and actually other days as well. And one of the things that kind of made me think of this was, so Garrett Kidney, who's a really entertaining guy, he's been on my podcast before, on WrestlingObserver.com. He hosts the TNA, You've Got to Be Kidding Me, a history of TNA podcast during the history of TNA 1 month at a time. He co-hosts that, and it's he's very intelligent, someone I enjoy. I don't say as much about people, someone I enjoy on social media, right? And I just think he knows his stuff and he's very smart. And I enjoy about like his takes, even if I don't agree with him. And I think they're always coming from a place of thought. There was a clip that came out from, Wrestling Observer Live, and focusing on, this was pulled, yes, AEW pay-per-views are too long. And it was Brian, I don't know who was on that day, talking with his the co-host of the day about AEW pay-per-views are too long. And Garrett retweeted that and said, can't these people ever just review a bleep wrestling show? Is there some contractual obligation to regurgitate the same talking point show after show, year after year? Just talk about whether the matches and stories and angles were good. Is that so hard? And so Garrett, he kind of replied to a few of the tweets and things like that. He said, so, one of the things doing TNA History Pods give me so little patience for these days. These people have been spewing the same boring bleep for decades. The level of thoughtful criticism is absolutely dire. Somebody actually talked about on my show as well. And, some of the things that he had mentioned, AEW pay-per-views are critically acclaimed, consider the consistent strong point of the company, continue to be extremely well-attended, have never shown signs of pay-per-view bias faltering. It's not a problem. So, and replies and all those type of things. So this made me just think. So Garrett lives, I think he lives in Ireland. He lives somewhere in Europe, I believe. I should know that. And it just made me think there's so many different fan bases and people, I should say, and demographics and who the people are that wrestling and any type of entertainment has to serve. And I was just thinking about this day. So I am in the camp of some of the things that they go a little bit too long. And the reason I say that is because I'm 47. I have a full-time job and I have family and I can't, it makes it very tough if I stay up super late like this one. So this one ended at 12:30 AM and I live in the East Coast of the United States. That's my situation. It makes it a little bit difficult to stay up that late and be ready to go tomorrow and do all the things that I need to do. Granted, it was holiday weekend, made it a little bit easier, but you get kind of the idea. Some of these have gone late on non-holiday weekends, which late to me is past 11:30, I think is late for me. However, he lives in a different part of the world where he sees it. And UK people, fans, and other fans have complained about pay-per-view start times forever. With UFC, with boxing, with wrestling, everything starts in the middle of the night there. Sometimes when they're hosting these events in their own country, UFC was famous for that. Australia, I remember UFC hosted a show there. It was like it's 8 a.m. in the morning or something like that. I mean, that's one thing. Just so it could be shown at regular time slot in the United States. In the UK, shows us, I believe, at some previews, like 1 in the morning, something like that. That is, the main event would walk at 5 a.m., that is crazy. So UK fans never have had too much tolerance for talk about this. But look at people on the West Coast, right? People on the West Coast, they're fine. My guy Brian Rose in California, the show's over. He can still go out and party if he wants to. But the rest of us have to go to sleep. It's just kind of a reality. But everyone's family situation is different. Some may be in cases where they can stay up super late. And it doesn't affect the over responsibilities or things they have to do. Well, other people may think, I have a job tomorrow and so on. And I can't stay. I'm going to miss the main event because I have to be up at 5 a.m. and it's 11 o'clock and we still have like two matches to go. I can understand some of that frustration. Now, people don't have much sympathy for those for writing for wrestling websites or doing podcasts or shows. They don't have sympathy for it. I'd love to get paid to do that. Well, there's a ton there I can tell you about when it comes to that line of thinking. But there is a case of, these are people we hear from. What about people that we don't hear from? And I guess you would see that in pay-per-view buys and so on and so forth. But I always be curious, kind of is the length just because we're just going to go as long as we can, or I want to make sure we have as much of our talents on the shows as we can, or I'm staying up till 5 a.m. regardless, so you should stay up till 5 a.m. Or, I just kind of wonder, and Tony has never really, he's kind of talked about it, but he doesn't seem to think it's a problem. And I think unless, to Garrett's point, unless the paper revise were a problem, it's not going to change. So at some point you wonder, you know, do you get some older fans? And we've seen, you know, demographic numbers and things like that their older audience is growing, maybe their younger audience isn't. Is it a way to kind of quietly force shed off older people and try to fit to the younger crowd who are going to stay up till 1 a.m. or whatever, regardless? And it's also, you know, who are you trying to serve? That's a huge challenge. Because I think at one point I read 85% of the North American population was in the Eastern and Central time zones. And of course, we East Coast elite serve to us our time frame, right? That's not how it works. So it's tricky when it comes to that. I wish they ended a little bit early. You can always find gaps where could this have been pushed to a dynamite? Could that, you know, did you really need this and so on and so forth? I think that, you know, that Tanahashi segment I talked about earlier, did that need to be on Dynamite or need to be on Double or Nothing? No, I think that you could have cut out half an hour pretty easily, I think. But again, not my company, and I still watched the whole thing, and I was it's exhausted the next day. But and I had to write about it. But that was that's kind of how it goes. So that debate will never stop. However, we have of course we had the news this week that SmackDown is going to remain a report out, and has not been refuted, that SmackDown is going to be 3 hours for the foreseeable future, I believe the quote was. And USA is happy with a third-hour performance because nothing else in their network is performing, which is a shocker in 2025, given where they used to be. But here we are. And WWE now has USA Network and NBC Universal right where they want them, right in the palm of their hands when it comes to those renewals coming up in 3 years, 4 years, something like that. So something to just kind of look at, but the whole landscape had changed and will change a lot since then. So it got me to thinking, like, so if you are watching Raw on Monday, so Raw, it hasn't really been going like 3 hours solid. So say that Raw is, you know, 2.5 hours, and then you have SmackDown, which is 3. And then you have like Saturday night's main event, which is 2. And then you had like, say you're going to watch NXT, and say there was an NXT. Actually, let's take out NXT. Let's add, Saturday night's main event. Let's add Evolution, which will be, 3 hours? So 3 hours. So if you're doing that, 3, 5, 8. So you're about 10.5 hours. Say you want people to watch NXT. So there's 2 hours. Say it's in a weekend like July 12th where you also have Battleground or Great American Bash. So that is another 3. So that's closing on about 15 hours. That seems like a lot to me. And that's also, if you're trying to watch other forms of wrestling, that's, you know, Fyter Fest, there's 4, for example, this week. If you have a normal week, it's 2 hours of Dynamite, 2 hours of Collision, and you have a pay-per-view, which is 5 or 6 hours in total when you count the pre-show matches and all that. These are healthy chunks, and we've seen these numbers grow and grow and grow. I just think as someone myself that has been through, I've seen a lot in my time in this planet, near 5 decades in terms of wrestling. And I wonder, is it hard for new fans to enter and really get fully committed like you and I are when there's so much to watch? I think about, you talk about your friends about TV shows and how many episodes in it? What is the runtime? Like, you start kind of talking about those things, and it's like, okay, how much time am I going to commit and things like that? I think about that stuff a lot. And sometimes if it's just good, you just watch it and you just kind of roll with it and say, okay, this is going to be worth my time. But some of these, I just, like a new fan, I think that's why, you know, wrestling is such a YouTube friendly, social media friendly entertainment option, is because you can just put clips, you can kind of like catch people up pretty quick. And I wonder if WD is at the point, like, we don't really care. We just want people to engage with the product however they're going to. And like, they put all these clips on Raw. You don't have to watch Raw. You can just watch some highlights and be good and get out of there. And like, if you just want to watch a CM Punk promo and that's the biggest news of the night, you're out of there in under 10 minutes, you're done on YouTube. That's your interaction by WD's main channel. So this is like, everyone is trying to figure this out. because people are just there. It is the ultimate on-demand, user-driven, I want what I want and I'm going to get it. It reminds me of my 8-year-old daughter when she throws a fit, right? I want what I want, arms crossed. And people are just going to find it and they're going to get it. And I just kind of wonder, I wouldn't say worry, but I just think about like, is WWE is the reason their numbers aren't like skyrocketing despite their huge success, pop culture success, is part of the reason for that it's just too hard to access the product because there's so much of a commitment to make. How do you tell people, oh, just tune in for this or tune in for this? It's like telling a football fan or a prospective football fan, just watch for the first downs only. Oh, the second down's the most exciting play. Just kind of come in and come out. Or the first, you're going to love the second quarter, right? It's kind of hard. And you're having someone sit there on a Monday or a Friday night and say, here's 3 hours to watch, you know, when you've already watched other stuff. And I don't know. It is a conundrum and they're getting paid. So I don't really think they care about it. And clearly these networks are liking what they're getting back for because they're looking at tonnage. I think the big thing is, when does this tonnage finally catch up with the industry? And when, as I've been kind of asking for a long time, is when does the industry kind of start, with every new show and every new hour that takes away another hour, someone could be watching someone else, another promotion, or are they kind of like, when is the tipping point? Like, this is just way too much. And that's just something we'll see play out naturally. Again, I think about those smaller promotions and how those things turn out. But, you know, so is life. And so is life that our show is going to come to an end after the final segment coming up after the break. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Come back. Hi, once again, Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Final segment here. Let's rip through these. No new developments in the R-Truth, case. Yikes, not a case. R-Truth released from WWE. No new developments as of right now. We'll know more, of course. Later on Sunday night, of course, and R-Truth joining a big list of free agents coming this week due to the NXT releases and such. You remember those recently. Let's see who we have and also other cuts and things like that. So this comes from Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful. All free agents this week: Alex Kane, Cora Jade, Gigi Dolan, Eddie Thorpe, Abaddon, Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, Wolfgang, Javier Bernal, Big Body Javi, Bear Bronson, Danny Palmer, Oro Mensa, and Riley Osborne. And of course, R-Truth will join that list at some point in the near future, depending on when that contract is up. And a lot of big reactions from people so far in WWE. Of course, nothing anti-WWE, but like Rhea Ripley saying, in all seriousness, this is literally so heartbreaking. Thank you, Truth. You're going to see a lot of that today, which makes me believe, as I think about this more and more every single minute, I think AEW should sign him as a little jab at WWE, saying, look, you want to fire this beloved guy? We'll gladly take him. And I don't think they're going to push him right in the main event roster or anything like that, or the main event spots. But, you know, if you're kind of having some fun back and forth, why not? You got the money. Sign the guy, bring him in, get a huge pop at the right time, and have some fun with him and let him ride out how he wants to. It could be a lot of fun, but we'll see how that happens. And we'll talk to you all about that and more on these very airwaves and also WrestlingObserver.com, Sports Byline, Over There Affiliates, all those good things, all the news of the week. It never stops. We never stop, and we hope you never stop. Thank you so much for having me once again in your ears. My name is Josh Nason. This has been Wrestling Observer Live.